opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
What's trending?
What's trending is presented by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu. The Royals win in walk-off fashion, of course, last night. We're going to talk more about it. How about Nick Lofton? Heck of a two-game stretch for him. He gets the walk-off hit. Chris Bubich on the mound tonight as the Royals are going for a sweep of the Pittsburgh Pirates. We're going to talk to Vern in about a half hour. Also, don't forget Vern's On Deck show tonight, an hour before the game.
Trying to get a little something going here before the All-Star break, get themselves back in the mix. They now sit four games back, I believe, of a playoff spot in the AL hunt. Next up on What's Trending, Chet Holmgren gets a rookie max contract, five-year, $250 million extension. They've handed out now more than $550 million to both him and SGA in the last 2 weeks. So Thunder certainly spending a little bit of dough. But that rookie max, it's like, you just don't find seven-footers who can shoot very often in the NBA. They often get paid that. Rookie max at $250, probably worth it for if you're an NBA team. But they're going to get shoved into the luxury tax at a quickness with those kind of
deals. Still set up so nicely for the next 3 years or so with the capital that they had, draft capital they still have, and obviously the MVP, the reigning MVP. And then Chet Holmgren, I really think he's just going to keep getting better. He still hasn't reached his potential
yet. He was nowhere close to the best player on the floor in a finals win. He was like the sixth best player on the floor in a finals.
He missed
win,
some time this year too. I think like that contract's well deserved by, you know, with where the NBA money is at. And I also think he's still getting better. Next up on What's Trending, some injury news in the NFL. One of the best left tackles in football, Tristan Wirfs, had his knee scoped and will likely start the season on the PUP, according to Adam Schefter. So he will not be available early on in the season, it looks like, for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I understand they're not on the Chiefs schedule, right, or anything like that, but it's just still of note. A Bucs team that has won the NFC South for three consecutive seasons. If you think they're vulnerable, new OC, now they're starting left tackles out. What does this do for Baker Mayfield and his success early on? So that's a key injury. Talking about one of the best left tackles in football.
Yeah, that is a massive injury. It hurts a little bit your thought that Baker Mayfield's got a good chance at the MVP.
Yeah,
40-1. If he's not going to be protected from Tristan Wirfs.
That is true.
That certainly adds a little bit of an element to that. It's going to be tough for them. Next up on, they've won the division, what, 3 years in a row?
3 years, yep.
Yeah. Next up on What's Trending, Frank White recall election set for August 26th. At the moment, it depends on how it looks. There's some arguing about whether or not Frank White can veto portions of this. I got to be honest. The idea that you can veto a portion of a thing trying to kick you out of office seems crazy. It's more about county law versus state law. There's some stuff that says he has to get 10 weeks in order but for the recall election. And then there's some council stuff that they'd agree to that suggests it could be less than that. So they're all trying to sit out there. But right now they've set a date of August 26th for Jackson County voters to decide if Frank White should remain as the county commissioner.
Lastly, on What's Trending, we announced the Wittesons, obviously, on Monday, the officially sanctioned fan club for Bobby Wood Jr. We are the senior Wittesons. More details on Sunday's launch event. It, of course, is the Bobby Wood Jr. look-alike contest. Beginning at 10:30, we will have barbers out there giving haircuts. If you're someone that says, hey, I don't have the hair to do that, maybe I'm bald, no problem. You can still enter the look-alike contest. We will have wigs out there as well. And we have confirmed the winner, one of the prizes, there could be others, one of the prizes, the winner and a guest will get to sit with us in the Crown Club that day.
So we're heading down to the
good seats. And we're told TV section too. So we'll get you on TV.
So make sure you stay looking like Bobby Witt Jr. Alex and I will keep our wigs on, our glasses on, our crowns on. We got to adjust a little bit throughout the week just because I've been wearing this thing for now 10 hours this week. It's a lot. Sometimes you got to make the adjustment. The winner will get a chance. Alex and I will bookend you down in the crown section with the TV cameras on to help launch the Wittesons. We figured, I'll just be honest with you. We asked. We thought there's no better way than to let people know what a Wittesen is and how to become a Wittesen than to get you on those seats that you see on FanDuel TV. So that's where we'll be, somewhere inside a camera shot, dressed up.
That is what's trending here on Cody and Gold. We'll talk to Vern in about 25 minutes or so. Don't forget, though, on a Wednesday, you're looking at what to eat today, what to get for lunch. Well, you got to go to Jefferson's. Jefferson's has a new happy hour as well. Going to save you some money. It's 7 days a week. Enjoy half off appetizers as well. Half off your bar tab, whether it's Jefferson's Lenexa, Jefferson's up in North KC. And then on Mondays, it's all day happy hour. They got the same great deals during their reverse happy hour 7 days a week. Jefferson's, wings, burgers, oysters, up in Lenexa or in North Kansas City. So we were talking during What's Trending about the walk-off win. Always good. Always feels good to have a walk-off win. Nick Lofton coming up big. And the offense has now put together six or seven straight games where they have been very effective. And the big three have been hitting. Vinny continues to play well. Bobby, Salvi. Last night it was Lofton. Last night Caglione gets his first home run at Kauffman Stadium. And I think, you know, we'll find out as the week goes on. It feels like that last night, maybe, just maybe, is a game in which it kind of unlocks everything for him a little bit and allows him to take another deep breath and breathe.
Yeah, he hammered that ball.
And it helps not only because he hits a home run and that just got to feel good to see just a pure missile go out to right field, but also when everybody else is starting to do their thing, you don't feel like you got to play hero or anything like that. You just go play some baseball. I know he only had one hit of the game, and so you're like, calm down. For a guy that had
in the ninth,
for a guy
really
that
good.
Had one hit, one was a homer, and the other one was an unbelievable at bat in the ninth inning where he truly just did what you had to do. Move the runner over, fly ball to the outfield, you move Mikel over to third, and of course Nick Lofton does the damage after that, and the Royals walk it off, and they are in position to sweep the Pirates tonight.
They are having obviously a pretty good run here. We'll talk more about that, but the Caglione stuff is easily one of the biggest things to come out of that game, even though it was only a couple of at-bats we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
The homer is what we expected to see. He's going to run into some. That's even the ball that, like, most can't get out of the park. It's too low. It shouldn't leave the park. But because he hit 114 miles an hour, it manages to. Yeah, dude, it was a rocket. It does. But honestly, even more than that one, and that one is important, the one in the ninth inning, he gets down 1-2, the team, and it's a big spot. There's nobody out. There are two runners on. A couple weeks before that, you guys remember, he came up to bat, down a run with the bases loaded and one out, and he rolled into a double play. And that moment's probably been sticking with him, where you feel like you're costing the team wins, Gold. You're costing the team a chance to win. Those things eat at you a little bit. So you got another big spot. Two people on. Nobody out. What can you do to assist the team? And he got down in the count. And was it an out? Yeah. But it was... he did what you said, had to do to get something to win. Getting that guy to third, borderline insured the win. It didn't make it 100%, but it went from like 50-50 shot we get a win in this game in the ninth when we got 2-1 and nobody out to 80% chance we get a win tonight with a guy on first and third and one out where we feel like anything in play, especially a fast runner at third and Mikel, is going to get us the win. That felt so big for the team. But now they're getting confidence again, so maybe I can... you know, like maybe we can start feeling good about it again. Thursday, right? So they can get the sweep tonight and then, take a day.
I'm not just going to change just because they had a walk-off win last night. The same thing applies. I need to see the offense do it for more than six or seven games, though, to actually think that the offense has truly turned a corner. Because things, as you know, change quickly. If all of a sudden today they don't score and then they struggle all weekend to score, we're right back in the exact same spot. So
you don't have to change your opinion on that yet.
Enjoy the last couple of nights. It's been fun, right? Walk-offs are fun. Jack hitting a home run is great. Bobby's playing great. Like all that is fun and great. And they get the Mets this weekend and hopefully they carry it over to that series as well. But the overarching like view of where the season is going, I'm not changing that after 1 week. That would be foolish, I think, at this point in time.
Won every single game and all of a sudden we're a game back in the playoff spot.
Finish this homestand out strong. I'm not saying they have to win out, but finish it strong. And then that first series after the All-Star break, show me that the bats are still there. And then we can have a different conversation. And also, are they acquiring a bat to help? Because I think even with the way the offense has played for six or seven games now, you still don't have enough. So who are you bringing in to help the offense for this year and beyond? That still has to happen if you want to change your overarching kind of view of where the season is going. But yeah, I mean, it's been positive, no doubt. And, you know, as long as Seth Lugo keeps pitching the way he is, that's also a great sign, as we discussed earlier, about what that maybe does for his value. He hasn't done anything to deter that. And You know, for Cags, yeah, it's someone said, hey, you guys said after he had a home run in Texas, maybe that's what eases, you know, allows him to take a deep breath. Oh, we definitely didn't happen. That's why I said, is it the question is, feels like, is this the moment that gets him going? We're going to find out. It wasn't the game in Texas where he hit two home runs, clearly was not the moment that got him going. Let's find out if last night was. It feels like it could. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I'm not here to tell you he's getting ready to hit 400 for the next month, but I hope he does. Little news in the baseball world is a little teaser for the future.
Okay.
I did see it's being reported now in the All-Star game, Major League Baseball will use the ABS challenge system during the All-Star game next week. So the automatic balls and strike system, the way they use it in the minors, will be used in the All-Star game next Tuesday night. As a, I don't know, precursor probably to what you would expect in the season next year, I would think, or the next 2 years in there. A little bit interesting, right? That's not nothing. It'd be kind of interesting to see the players actually try to utilize it, because most of the guys in the big leagues have had no taste with it. They've been in the big leagues long enough, Gold, that it wasn't even being kicked around in the minors yet, but they're going to use it in Atlanta. Could be a part of Major League Baseball as early as next year. They have not made that decision yet, but they're going to use it for the Midsummer Classic. Find out whether or not they agree or not. By the way, they polled. I was just reading the article now, and this doesn't surprise me at all. Major League Baseball say they polled 72% of fans said that they were in favor of automatic balls and strikes. Why wouldn't you be?
No, it's great.
Are you tired of, like, I've seen so many missed calls every game. You're just like, we don't need this. It's making your job easier.
Yeah, I love it. We've seen it in minor league games we've gone to a couple times this year. It takes 5 seconds. It's awesome. It also is fun because conversationally, you can then break down a little bit of, you know, why did they waste their challenge in that spot? Was that the right time to use it? You know, you have an umpire that potentially gets proven wrong, but on the flip side, the ump is feeling good because they challenge it 3 times and he was actually correct.
Adds a little juice in the game.
All of it. Like, there's just a little extra intrigue into the game. For an All-Star game, I mean, it won't add that, but it'll just be fine. Like, it's just give fans a little taste of what's to come in 2026.
Was I the only one who liked when the All-Star game meant home field advantage in the World Series?
I didn't mind it as much as other people did. Yeah, I didn't have as big of an issue. I know people thought it was gimmicky, but actually,
I didn't mind it. Real tangible. Yeah.
You want to win?
They, gimmick nothing.
They mean like a game that's a gimmick.
Oh, you're saying you can't have a gimmick for the World Series.
Yeah,
I see.
Okay. I think when it's the best players playing, and you know that these guys are probably all competing with their respective teams to, yeah.
No one's stopping. You know what's on the line.
It makes them play for it.
Yeah. Like, it's not gimmicky if you actually have to win it. You're playing for it. You know you're playing for it. You know that it matters that you're playing for it. What's gimmicky about that? Now, it's a little bit weird that you're a mix of players and pitchers and all this stuff on the American League, the National League, but, you know, they were trying to make it, you know, it is. USA, obviously the NBA, the hockey is the best one. Everyone should just make it. If you've got an international sport, USA against the world is always the gimmick that works. We liked the nations, right? We all agreed that we liked the what was it, Four Nations? Is that what they called it for the NHL?
Four Nations Face-Off, yep.
Yeah.
It was good.
Always a good way to do it. Absolutely a good way to do it. I want to make
text
this.
Line, oh,
no, you're going to say.
I said text line. I was mad. We were saying anything positive about CAGs. We're not allowed to do that, I guess, until he hits over a certain bar. We're not allowed to say anything positive now.
Okay.
Yeah, be careful. You're not allowed to do that.
I'll be mindful.
Yeah, please do. Yeah.
I mean, yesterday we were talking about him potentially needing to get sent down soon, but okay, sure. Look, it was a good game. He had a nice game. It was the best thing to come out of that game is that hopefully that it continues. That's all. Drew did not personally request this to be discussed on the show, but
you sure?
I saw the clip.
You sure? I saw his tweet.
He tweeted about it?
Of course.
Then maybe Drew.
I'm going to say the same. No. Do not pin this on me. You guys, it was in the rundown. I didn't say anything. We had to talk about it. Mm-hmm. I didn't say anything.
I thought maybe he put it in, but then I thought
I did not.
It looked like it was gold.
No, I put it in the rundown, but
I put in the,
he tweeted
because he already drew attention to it.
Yes.
Obviously the new Netflix documentary is out. Quarterback Joe Burrow is a part of that. As a result of that, there's a clip of Steve Spagnuolo approaching Joe Burrow and having this to say.
Other than that guy, you're the best in the business. I'm not saying that because you're saying I appreciate you. Good luck.
Talk about heartbreaking.
Other than our guy, you're the best in the business. So there's a couple of different ways to look at this from Spags. One, I actually think he's being honest. Spagnuolo's a pretty honest guy. I think he probably means it when he says that he thinks Joe Burrow is the second best quarterback in the league. So do Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, and the others take offense? Is it kind of a knife twist to be like, other than the guy who's way better than you, who keeps beating you in football games, you're pretty good. Is that like a twist of the knife from Spags? Cause I feel like it is trying to be.
Yeah. On one hand, I definitely was like, wow, like basically you're really good. You're still not as good as our guy. Thanks. Like
that's see you later.
That's
Joe.
One way.
The
have
other
a
evening.
In fact,
I also think
supposed to say that.
I also think Josh Allen was probably watching that saying, wait, he said that to me too. So look, in all seriousness, Joe Burrow, we've discussed this plenty of times on this show, obviously, with Drew being a Bengals guy. I think Joe Burrow is the third best quarterback in this league, and suddenly that's hating on him, I guess. But I still stand by where we've been. I think he's the third best quarterback. I think Josh Allen is a better quarterback than Joe Burrow. At some point, results do matter.
So
I'm not big in just on wins and losses for quarterbacks because there's so many factors. But at some point it matters. Somebody does have an MVP. You can say, well, Joe Burrow has a Super Bowl appearance, which is very fair. That's why
I'm not telling you Joe Burrow is
fifth. I think he's the third best quarterback in the league, and Lamar Jackson's the fourth best.
Listen, I'm not going to say anything other than you listen to your defensive coordinator and you listen to what he says, and that's what you should believe.
I mean, we're kind of just like splitting hairs between second and third. Alex and I,
you're fighting for second so badly. I mean,
you and Alex, yeah. Like, it's got to be second so bad. You should be fighting for first.
Hold on a second. Stand up for
your guy.
No, hang on a second. So now it's a problem. Hold on. So now that Spack says it, so you're fighting for second now, and it doesn't mean anything. All of a sudden, when your guy says, hey, Spags is, Jabril's actually better, all of a sudden, well, you're just fighting for second now.
No, I think
you don't have
saying,
anything to it. This is a turn into
now.
Intending
to be a shot.
I think he's saying that, like, you're at, like, you were acting like,
he coaches on the team
I'm
that that guy
on,
plays on. He has to say it. He's not going to say you're better than Mahomes when he
of course
coaches
not,
on the
but
Chiefs.
But I don't think, no.
He
but
would mean
I,
that.
I think Cody was just saying, like, when you and I have gone back and forth about this, I've said he's third. You're acting like I'm saying he's the 10th best quarterback in the league. I mean, I don't think it's that crazy, second or third. It really, we're not that far off here.
No, but I will say that, like, what really stood out, and we were having this conversation a little before the show, is the more and more I think about where a lot of teams are, some teams and some organizations lately have underperformed because Patrick Mahomes has forced them to underperform, right? Like, he's kept Josh Allen out of Super Bowls. He kept Lamar Jackson out of Super Bowls. He's kept the 49ers from winning Super Bowls, whatever. He has forced some organizations to underperform what should have been a reasonable expectation for their organization. There is no team who has underperformed more considering their quarterback than Cincinnati. It's an indictment on Zach Taylor probably more than it is anything else. But it speaks to the fact that the Chiefs have been holding some teams' head underwater for a while and preventing them from doing the things they want to do. But Cincinnati's like doing it while shooting themselves in the foot. Like, the Chiefs hurt you in that regard, but they're like actively hurting themselves versus it just feels like the Bills and Ravens would have won something if Patrick Mahomes didn't exist. Right? It feels like they're holding
them
back
agree.
More.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Joe Burrow also is responsible for holding Josh Allen's head under the water. I don't know if you forgot, in 2023, he went into Josh Allen's house, outplayed him in the snow, and they dominated him as well. So it's not like Burrow's never played Josh Allen. Josh Allen has never beaten Joe Burrow once in his career.
Yeah, I know. But, like, I mean, again, we're talking, like, you know, a couple of head-to-head matchups. The regular season ones
I'm just saying that just as much the same as, more so because Patrick's played him more in the playoffs and played him more in general, Joe Burrow also is partially responsible for.
Why do you think Josh Allen
is
overrated?
Not advancing.
Though? Like, why do you like take the ranking part? Like, why do you actually think Allen is overrated and you think Burrow's underrated?
The main thing is because, well, one, I think if you just look at, and maybe it's just the national perception of how Joe carries himself, the fact that people think that he's arrogant and all of that stuff that make him think that everybody says that he's not as good as any people think that he's not as good as Jalen Hurts. Chris Canty doesn't even think that.
Who's saying that?
There are multiple people who think that Joe Burrow is not as good as Jalen Hurts or any of the other guys like Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson.
I've never seen anybody say that about
Patrick Mahomes.
Jalen Hurts, that's
Jalen Hurts actually gets dogged on more than anybody, and the guy's been to two Super Bowls and won one.
If you go and you find, if you search, you will find. Or if you just look.
Yeah, I mean, I can find some idiot on the internet too.
That's what I'm saying. Is there's more people than you think that actually believe that way about Joe Burrow. The reason why I think Josh Allen is overrated is because a lot of it really has to do with the MVP stuff from last season, but also
he's overrated because he won.
Josh Allen, if you look at Josh Allen, has been handed essentially everything other than elite number two wide receiver. Joe Burrow has not been handed as much as his rollout has not been as much as
offensive players
as Josh. Josh Allen has always had a better offensive line, has always had a better defense, has had a better head coach than
head
Joe
coach,
Burrow has.
Maybe.
Than Joe Burrow has. I think that also an easier division to win than Joe Burrow has. I think those four things,
sure.
Those four things, I think all encapsulate the fact that he hasn't been able to make one and also lost to Joe Burrow in the process of trying to get there. That I
here's
he
this is your problem
to
Drew.
Me.
Your issue here, this is where I have an issue with your argument. Your argument is Joe Burrow is definitively better than Josh Allen. Josh Allen's overrated because he lost to Joe Burrow in a playoff game, and because the only thing he's accomplished, in your opinion, the MVP, he shouldn't have won.
And also,
but then by
better,
that argument, Jalen Hurts is better than Joe Burrow, right?
In terms of what?
He's a better quarterback. He has won a Super Bowl. He's beat your boy. He's what he's better,
no,
right?
No.
That's the problem I
no,
have.
Because I'm not...
Now it's not head-to-head. No, it's just vibes.
But if you watch the games and watch them play, I think that Joe Burrow is more accurate than Josh Allen. Period. He is more accurate of a quarterback than Josh Allen. And you can't say, well, that's the wide receiver stuff, because guess what? Josh Allen...
I wouldn't disagree with that.
...has a better offensive line. He can sit back there where Joe Burrow's throwing the ball in 2 seconds
to whoever's
open.
But Josh Allen is...
throwing them open.
Maybe he's 5% better or 5% more accurate.
Jalen Hurts...
He's 40 times better as a runner, Josh Allen.
That's because Josh Allen has to run. I think
that gets discounted. We take away one of his greatest assets because he has to.
No, I think he's a great player. Again, but again, the... to me, Lamar Jackson's better than Josh Allen as well. I think Josh Allen's 4. I think Lamar Jackson is better than Josh Allen. I'm surprised that you think Josh Allen's 2 and Lamar Jackson.
Have. I've been pretty consistent on my ranking here with the quarterbacks of 1 through 4.
Because I think a lot of people can also say the Jalen Hurts thing. I think collectively, people understand that. They have the dominant defense that they've had. The offensive line is one of, if not the best in football. He, in fairness, also has Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown and Saquon Barkley.
Why do the weapons count against Allen and Hurts and these guys, but when we bring up Higgins and Chase for Burrow, it's like, well...
Because they don't have the protection.
And Mixon, who was one of the
better
backs.
Because they don't have the protection or defense to go along with what Joe Burrow has. I think it equals out. Because everybody says that, well, he's got Ja'Marr Chase and, well, he's got T. Higgins, which, you're not going to, if Joe Burrow didn't have them, I still think he'd be a very good quarterback. Josh Allen had Stephon Diggs and did squat.
So
with
wait,
Stephon Diggs.
You don't think Josh Allen would be, if he didn't have the defense, you think Josh Allen would just be like a top 10 quarterback?
I would love to see Josh Allen put up the same numbers as Joe Burrow did last year with the offensive line that he had and the defense that he had.
But he gets Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins, though.
Well, of course.
I actually think he put up better numbers than a bad defense. I think that always hurts the argument.
I think Joe Burrow does better with what Josh Allen has had than what Josh Allen has done. I think Joe Burrow at least has made one Super Bowl, if not won one, with what Josh Allen has had.
But again, then your argument flaws because then Jalen Hurts should be better. Or Goff should be as good. If it's just about one game difference, the argument falls apart.
No, because
you're talking about a guy who's been to an AFC title game and a guy who's been to a Super Bowl. We're talking about one game.
No, because if you put Jalen Hurts on the Bills with what Josh Allen has had, Jalen Hurts does not make a Super Bowl. Joe Burrow wins a Super Bowl, I think, or makes one, at least, with Josh Allen has, where Josh Allen has done nothing. Josh Allen has done nothing with what he has. The narrative around him was what he was carrying his team to do this and this and this.
You're right. In the MVP season,
Lamar Jackson is better than Josh Allen.
In the MVP season, Josh Allen had studs like Khalil Shakir and Keon Coleman running routes for him. My, oh, my. All right, up next, let's talk some Royals baseball. I'm sure we'll get back to that conversation again at some point. But Josh Vernier, our Royals insider, is going to join us next.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Back here on Cody and Gold, we'll get to the random question of the day in 12 minutes. You guys can always interact with us on the Jays Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7965. Also, do not forget, great day to take advantage of half the hour over at Jefferson's, whether it's Lenexa or up in North Kansas City. 7 days a week, They have half off appetizers, half off your bar tab at either location. Not to mention Monday is all day happy hour. Jefferson's, wings, burgers, oysters. Let's talk some Royals baseball with our Royals insider, Josh Vernier. I would guess, Vern, the post-game show a little more enjoyable the last 5 to 6 days or so.
Yeah, winning at home is a lot of fun. The crowds have been very impressive, really, especially despite the losing, right? The past two homestands, only one win. Last night, a Tuesday night, they get near 23,000. Yeah, great turnouts, and after exciting wins, a lot of people that were in the building want to continue the party. So, yeah, they've been a lot of fun the past few nights. And, you know, you have a game like last night where Cags hits his first home run and had so many people swinging by the booth talking about how grateful they were to be in the building for what we believe is going to be a rather monumental first bomb of a pretty tremendous career.
I know it's one game, and it certainly doesn't mean all of his problems are solved, Vern, but we took it as like that was one of the biggest things to come out of the game for me, just a really productive out that mattered a lot in the ninth and helping them get the win so you can feel good about that. Another good at bat in the game, and then, of course, the home run. I felt like, okay, you know, like put together a few games in a row that look like that, and I think you're going to feel a lot better about a guy who I thought could probably use the All-Star break better than just about, or more than just about anybody else on the team.
Yeah, without a doubt, it's going to be, you know, a game like that's beneficial for a 22-year-old's confidence, especially one that's been spiking the bat, you know, way too much. Some porous body language on that past road trip, understandable, right? That's the same guy we saw lose his temper or, you know, get a little too animated down there at the University of Florida, and he's only a year removed from being that college kid. I guess it's no surprise that the body language can be questionable at times. Nice night last night, but again, man, you mentioned it. It's the big leagues. Go do it again, because as his manager will tell us later on this afternoon, nobody cares about what you did yesterday. You got to go do it again.
And that same thing applies to, you know, the big three offensively. It's been, what, a seven-game stretch now where Bobby, Vinny, and Salvi have obviously been playing some good offense, more like last season. But like, I need to see it the rest of the homestand, and I need to see it coming out of the All-Star break to really believe that they've turned a corner offensively.
Yeah, and even if you see that, what does it prove to you? You know, it proves to you that they're possibly as good as they were a season ago. And we all know that, you know, that formula is good enough to get them there, the big three and a great rotation. But when you get on the biggest of stages, you suddenly realize that your big three, they're not that big. Your great rotation is very good, but it's not the best. You know, it's not an all-time rotation. I mean, shoot, it was outpitched last year by Garrett Cole and Clark Schmidt and Carlos Rodon, so... You want to continue to... Here's why it's so important for me to continue seeing the big three do what they've done over the past week. Is it should allow J.J. Piccolo the freedom to move Seth Lugo prior to the deadline on July 31st. Because right now, if I'm John Sherman... until you can prove to me that trading away Seth Lugo isn't a white flag on the season, I want to take this thing all the way to the deadline. And the only way you can convince me that trading away Seth Lugo isn't a white flag is if you can show me you have someone to take his spot, and you don't right now. You just signed Dallas Keuchel to go along with 45-year-old Rich Hill, who got his brains beat in yesterday. Cole Reagans is still on the shelf, so you're not going to be able to convince me that you have someone to replace him in the rotation. And right now, you still can't convince me that the offense has improved enough to offset the likely regression coming from the rotation. So if you can give me, you know, this weekend against the Mets, by the way, Kodai Senga coming back on Friday, Frankie Montas going on Saturday, Sean Manaea returning coming up on Sunday. It's a formidable trio that you're going to face against the Mets, and they got a pretty good bullpen as well. So if the offense can't continue this going into the break, you know, start off and, you know, bang a little bit down there in Miami, you know, possibly it could open up the idea that you can move Seth Lugo prior to the trade deadline and still tell your fans we have our outside shot at the wild card still.
When you look at what Bobby Witt Jr. has been doing, we talk about it. We're doing the Wittizen stuff. Do you want to, first off, do you want to be a senior Wittizen? We have some extra buttons.
If I'm bald.
We got a wig for
we
you.
We got wigs. We have 100 wigs planned for Sunday.
Okay. All right. I just know about the barber, and I'm like, well,
we knew that we might run into some issues with hair, so we thought, you know, we'll take precautions.
Yeah, good call. Ballparks are a great place to find a bunch of bald dudes. So, yeah, of course I do. Why wouldn't you want to support Bobby Witt Jr., who this season has still been one of the five best baseball players on the planet? And you look at the numbers he's now putting up with runners in scoring positions, he's back to being that monster in the big moments. So, you know, defensively, you look at what he's doing on the base paths, he's just simply the best. And yet, for some reason, batting average gives a rookie with no city affiliation the starting spot in the American League, at least for now. I know he got banged up last night.
Yeah, he got hit by a pitch, left the game in the first inning. And then I saw yesterday, thinking of All-Star voting, we haven't had a chance to talk to you about it. You know, Michael Garcia, of course, one of the big snubs here in 2025 for an All-Star appearance. And then I saw Bregman, of course, as expected, not going to play because he's hurt. And the alternate, you thought maybe that was an opportunity for Michael Garcia. No, it's Junior Caminero, who's a nice player, obviously, in Tampa. But if you look at some of his metrics next to Michael, and they don't add up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, to me, that's a reflection of their team is good and mm-hmm. your team is not good. and I think most Royals fans can understand that. If you're going to be three games below 500, you can't whine that you're not getting five All-Star representatives. Now, it's fair to complain about Bobby not being the starter. I think that's a bad reflection on baseball fans as a whole, and you know, not necessarily a feather in our cap here in Kansas City either. The two no-brainers were Bobby and Bubich. They're both going, so I'm good.
Vern, we didn't tell you. I don't know if you've heard. One of the prizes, there could be more, is that you'll get to sit in the crown seats with me and Alex the game on Sunday if you're the winner of the Bobby Wood Jr. Lookalike Contest.
And you guys know how to do it right. I think a lot of people have seen you guys.
Well, I get my money's worth when I sit down
right.
there.
Yeah, and you get to see Cody and Gold off mic. That's a whole other world right there.
Whole different bag. You
Cody
know?
Just starts singing randomly. It's really wild.
And a lot of cussing. A lot of cussing.
Yes. A lot more cussing.
I mean, a lot of it comes across on the radio. I mean, you're slipping quite a bit, but off the air, man, it gets colorful.
I get a little more loose with the F-bombs.
I love it. I love it. That's when I first fell in love with you, were those days up in spring training.
Sitting up there in the heat thinking about those things. When you look at where, I wanted to ask you at least a little bit about Noah Cameron, because I was definitely in the, like, he got 2, 3, 4 starts. Even when he was having, like, the Valenzuela run, I'm like, I'm going to need a minute before I make any kind of decisions on a guy who wasn't over-heralded or super hyped coming into his big league career. And I don't even know if the Royals knew what they were getting. What has stood out to me is his ability to bounce back. He's had a couple of rough ones here or there, but continues to put up really good numbers and give the team a chance to win every time he starts. Are you thinking that we're getting this Noah Cameron the rest of the year at this point? I mean, it's kind of hard to assume the other way.
Yeah, I don't see why not. There's nothing about him that reflects a rookie, a 25-year-old with a lack of experience. And it's not as if he's relying on, you know, just here. Here's
102,
cheese.
Good luck.
Yeah, good luck.
Mizorowski stuff.
It's a lot. Now, that dude's something else. But Bubich, you know, to me, that's what I see with a Noah Cameron, is a Chris Bubich that wasn't rushed to the big leagues. You know, he's able to hit all four quadrants. He has a mixture of pitches. It's a guessing game. So long as his command is on, I don't see why Noah Cameron can't bring that to the ballpark every single, you know, every fifth day when he takes the hill. What's so impressive to me is, you know, prior to his last outing, the Royals had lost 8 of his first 10 starts. 8 of the last 9 starts going into the last one. So the fact that he's able to block out the fact that while driving to the ballpark, he knows, man, my offense might give me 2 runs, maybe 3 if we're lucky. To block all of that out, just go out there and execute against the Dodgers. I mean, he's taken on some pretty not only is he taking on some pretty big opponents, obviously, up here in the big leagues, he knows the pressure's on him. He knows he's a part of the rotation that is leading this team, that at times is dragging this team to the finish line. And he's able to compartmentalize it all, go out there and get the job done. Something that we're praising the other rookie, Jack Caglione, for just do your job. Just execute the game plan. That's what Cags did last night. It's what Cameron's been doing, and then some, since he first showed up.
Cole Reagan's now on the 60-day IL. I think some people immediately see that and say, oh, 100% season is over. That's not how this works. But if the team is not in it in the middle of August, do you think they would just shut him down at that point?
So long as he agrees to it too, right?
Yeah,
he's paid.
You're done. Yeah, he is. He doesn't need to fight for arbitration to get those extra starts. But, you know, a couple of starts at the end just to take something into the offseason, just to test your stuff against big leaguers. Are they going to try and stretch him? You know, let's try to get three more outs from him in this penultimate start of the season. No, obviously they'll be smart with him. But if he's back and ready to go, and there's no risk of further injury, you'll still run them out there, especially home games for your fans. Yeah, you no need to shut Cole Reagan's down unless you're truly concerned about his 2026.
Keuchel, Rich Hill, you mentioned, do either of them start a game this year for the Royals at the big league level?
God, I hope not.
But if they trade Lugo and Lorenzen, I mean, someone's starting, right?
Yeah. Still, I would prefer it be someone other than those two.
I agree.
Bolin or something.
Yeah.
No, I don't know about that either.
Champlain, I don't care what his numbers are. I'd rather see a 25-year-old that's been in the minors too long. So
100%, yes. Yeah. But, man, you look at that AAA rotation right now, and good night. It's like a bunch of AI names. I'm like, that's not a real person. I've never heard of that guy. Honestly, I mean, outside of Rich Hill, Chandler Champlain, there's this Orrin Hatch, I think, is a – or was that a
There's
senator?
Some guy that looks like his name is Citronella or something. I don't know what it
– Like the candle?
Saratola. Okay,
yeah, that guy. Yeah.
That's a young guy with a big old arm. Okay, yeah. So that's fine. But, no, they got, like, Ron Gant, I think, or maybe that's the old Braves outfielder.
I saw Michael Fulmer.
Yeah, right. The
Bartolo
old rookie
Colon
of the year.
Was doing an interview the other day. Maybe he's free.
Is Greinke cutting lawns, or what's he doing?
I mean, Edinson Volquez was in okay shape in spring training. Let's see what he's up to.
All right, Vern, we'll be listening tonight, man. Appreciate it.
I appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
There you go. Josh Vernier, our Royals insider. He joins us each and every Wednesday, and of course, you hear him before and after each and every Royals game right here on 96.5 The Fan.
Random question.
The random question of the day brought to you by Kansas City Urology Care at KCUC. Remember, you see the best in KC. Visit kcurology.com today. For you, Gold. For you, Drew. Over the text line, 913-586-7965. Of course, you can always hit us up on YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, Facebook. We live stream the show all 4 hours every single day. Matter of fact, all three shows are live streamed all day. So 12 straight hours of content over there, plus exclusive content on YouTube. If you check it out over there, subscribe so you can get it to the top of your page. Question I have you today is something I kind of mentioned to you the other day, Gold, but I was having a deeper conversation with my wife the other day.
This was not insomnia, 3 a.m.?
No, not insomnia. This was a classic car ride conversation that was taking place. I'm going to give you the setup first so you can think about your decision. A randomizer will give you the 10 most populous cities in this state. I want to know what your dead last pick of state to live in would be. So you're going to get the 10 most populous states. You're not going to get stuck in some backwoods nonsense in Mississippi. Okay. You will end up in a relatively large, depending on the state, like Montana's 10th biggest city.
Yeah.
Not going to be big.
Uh-huh.
Some, decent sized metropolitan area, depending on the state. I want to know if you were doing a draft of all every single state, Hawaii and Alaska included, not just the continental, what would be your dead last choice of state you would choose to live in? I'll just be honest with you, Drew. This is not because your brother lives there, because you lived there once. Florida would be in my bottom five. It would be in my bottom. There's a bunch of cities.
Really?
In Dude, it's hot. It's
yeah,
like
I'm near
half
the, I might be near
swampy.
The ocean.
You might not be.
Might be near the ocean, though.
Yeah, you might be in Orlando.
Not enough to save portions of like that. But Orlando stinks outside the water.
Well, so no, like no, I Orlando's landlocked. Orlando isn't in the
Oh, yeah.
Orlando smack dab in the middle of the state.
So terrible. Yeah. So like even less interested. Mm. Florida be my bottom five. I don't know if it'd be my bottom answer, but it'd be down there. Montana and Idaho were strong considerations. I don't know what the hell the 10th largest city in Idaho or Montana, or even the first biggest cities, look like.
Probably
Idaho, Boise, you said, is at
I
least
mean, in
okay.
Florida, these are the 10 cities I get if I pick Florida, for not being the worst, but for Jacksonville, Miami,
pass.
Tampa, Orlando, St. Petersburg,
pass.
Port St. Lucie, Camp Corral or whatever.
Camp Coral. You can't even, like, But here's the problem. I can't insure my house.
Tallahassee and Fort Lauderdale.
I can't insure my house. You can't get any insurance. Yeah. There's just so many things that stink about living in that state. Florida would be pretty low.
I don't think Florida would be dead last. No. It wouldn't be dead last. Dead last? Who? What state would it be? Wow.
Over in the text line, somebody's already mentioned Michigan. We've already got an ant. Why? Michigan's such an interesting one. Ohio, they don't want to be landlocked in some random state. Because, like, if you look up the 10 biggest cities in Ohio, what do you think if you ended up getting stuck with 10?
Honestly,
because you probably live your life in Cleveland.
It's South Dakota or North Dakota.
Oh, it's a Dakota.
Yeah, yeah.
Been there, done that?
It's yeah.
How was it?
Bottom five. South Dakota and North Dakota have to be in the bottom five. Sorry, just are. No pro teams. No pro teams either from an enjoyment perspective of sports. Nah, I'm out.
Yeah, a lot of people there are Vikings fans in the Dakotas.
If at worst, you would end up in Jamestown if you ended up in North Kansas or North Dakota.
Been to Jamestown multiple times.
Oh, yeah?
What? How was it?
It's fine.
West Fargo.
There's not much to do.
Grand Forks. Fargo would be the best city you could land
Fargo
in.
Would be
the
West Fargo? There's a West and an East Fargo and a North? And
according
a south?
To Wikipedia,
there's only
top
a West Fargo. It's Fargo and then West Fargo.
Yeah.
Okay. Fargo is the best. Fargo's the best city.
I honestly think
I was in Bismarck.
Quick bottom five off the top of my head.
The two biggest ones.
Quick bottom five for this would be North Dakota, South Dakota, New Mexico.
New Mexico would be okay on my list. I've been to New Mexico. Dry heat, kind of like Arizona. Got a couple of cool cities.
I think the interstates are there, by the way, are like, I would prefer like 85 is the speed limit.
I'd prefer New Mexico to Arizona. And I lived in Arizona for like 8 weeks in my life at this point. So I would prefer New Mexico to Arizona if I were drafting.
All right.
Vermont would be on the list, too.
Ooh, somebody mentioned Vermont, too.
In your bottom five?
It's so tiny. I could get to so many things. East Coast is tough, because even if I don't like where I live, the frequency in which I could visit a different place is definitely on board. What about Maine? How do we feel about... Because you get stuck in the 10th biggest city.
I think Maine can be beautiful, though, at the right time of year.
Oh. You don't think Vermont could be, though?
No.
I think it all fits in the... Vermont, New Hampshire.
Maine's further up, man.
Delaware.
Yeah, I know, but like...
Maine's better state than Vermont.
I'm surprised.
Florida's in my bottom five. I think one of those like Mississippi, Alabama. I have a hard time distinguishing the difference between them.
For
they
the
all
reasoning.
Feel about the Dude, same.
We,
all
right, so we don't have our headphones on, Drew. You got like somebody's got to stop talking. So I'm sure very annoying to the listeners at this point in time. Somebody's talking over somebody.
Go ahead, Drew.
For the reasoning that you have Florida, though, you should have Louisiana in there as well in your bottom five for the exact same. if you're living in Baton Rouge, then you would be as miserable as you think you would be in Orlando.
At least I get some
not
culture
more miserable.
At least I get culture and food. I get some etouffee, right? At least you know, that's why it's not below Florida. I'm not saying it's not low on the list. I'm just saying it's not below Florida.
Somebody has Nevada. No, but I get Vegas, so it's an automatic win. And I get Reno. I get the Tahoe area. I get Reno, which is near Tahoe.
The 10th city would probably suck, but that's going to suck in most of the states.
Yeah.
I think Florida, Montana, Alabama. I don't want to deal with Crimson Tide
fans. How have you not said Alaska?
Alaska's
nobody said Alaska.
Yeah, Alaska.
I'll deal with Alaska.
Yeah, the only problem with Alaska is the whole daylight thing.
And the 10th most remote city in Alaska is probably remote.
The daylight thing would be a problem in Alaska.
If I remember right, too, you're going to be living in Fairbanks, Alaska.
Hold on, let me look up the 10th biggest city. You're taking a risk, you know? I'm not saying the 10th. If it's the 10th biggest city, you might not. Alaska might be lower.
I just don't think that because so I've watched. I don't know if you guys have ever seen Below Zero or there's something called. There's a TV show called Life Below Zero.
Okay.
If I remember correctly, summer there is like a month. It's freezing cold the rest of the year and it's miserable. Plus the daylight thing. I think Alaska would be up there, and it's no disrespect. It's just I don't think I could do it.
I will say the biggest problem with Alaska is. If you don't, it's a randomizer, and if you don't get Anchorage, you are living nowhere. The second most populous city in Alaska has 31,000 people.
What is that, Juneau?
That's Fairbanks, then Juneau, which also has 31,000. Then something called Badger, Alaska, at 19,000. The 10th most populous city is Meadow Lakes with only 9,000 people in it. So you are really, Alaska should probably be lower because you really are risking, like if I ended up in Anchorage, I'll live my life. Or Juneau, maybe I'll live my life. But man, if you end up in Wasilla.
Yeah, that's tough. People want you to say Baton Rouge again, Drew.
Baton Rouge. Les élèves Baton Rouge.
Maybe if we end up getting are there any PGA events there? Come
on. I'm not going to be speaking Creole. I'm not going to be in it. Speaking
Creole Open?
Speaking Cajun like Ed Orgeron.
That is the random question of the day here. on Cody and Gold. All right, coming up next, let's talk more about what's going on in the Big 12 media days and one side that the Big 12 is on that some of these other conferences definitely are not. Plus, maybe some positive news on the schedule front for the Royals. That's coming up here on Cody and Gold.